This is The Full Spectrum. The show provides a wide range of news and competing opinions. The commentaries, beliefs, and viewpoints expressed by segment hosts and guests do not necessarily represent those of WJSU-FM, Jackson State University, or its administrators. The content of this program is for informational and/or entertainment value only and not meant as an endorsement or recommendation in lieu of professional guidance on relevant topics.
It's the full spectrum. We got news,
entertainment,
interviews, and so much more. It's the full spectrum.
On today's show, passions run high as protesters ask for answers following the deaths of 16 Mississippi inmates last month. Welcome to The Full Spectrum for Thursday, September 13th. I'm your host, Dwayne Doty. As I said, there was a protest yesterday outside of MDOC headquarters here in Jackson as Jacksonians and other Mississippians are asking for answers in the deaths of those inmates. And joining me now here in the studio live is Brenda Scott, the president of the Mississippi Alliance of State Employees. Welcome to you, Brenda.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here with you.
Well, thank you for saying so. So you were you at the protest yesterday?
No, I wasn't. As a matter of fact, this is the open enrollment period within the prison system. And I was out of town up at Parchman Monday, Tuesday, and I came back last night. So I wasn't able to participate in the action yesterday.
I saw you, and the reason I had invited you on is I saw you a couple of weeks ago over at the Capitol. You were staging, hold on 1 second. You were staging a protest at that time concerning these inmate deaths. Talk to me about why you think this is important.
Well, actually, the news conference that I had at the state capitol focused on the deaths within the prison system. But actually, we were talking about the cutting of state agency budgets, which really equates to not having enough staff, not having monies for additional training or proper equipment and things like that in order to do the job. And the governor and they had called for a special session to deal with infrastructure. And, you know, of course I supported the infrastructure project, but the problem is we have another infrastructure within the state of Mississippi that's falling apart as a result of the Republican-controlled House, Senate, and leadership, and that is the underfunding of our state agencies. Those deaths in corrections was a backdrop, in other words, to kind of say things like this. And let me just say, I'm reserving any thoughts or anything around the cause of death within the prison system, because first of all, we realize that is a population in and of itself. And if you read some of the articles, some of the inmates were hospitalized and they were basically like hospice care and things like that. I think this is new in the name of transparency. The deaths within the prison systems are now released to the public, whereas, you know, a sick inmate have died in the past, and it wasn't wasn't something that was reported on the news. So I think with the prison population at the number that it is now, and that's not to demean the fact of 16 deaths within a month, because any death that's at the hands of someone else or whatever is, you know, is an important issue.
I was going to say there seems to be some confusion about if this is a normal number or not. And I think that's what's driving some of the frustration on the part of protesters because they feel they're not getting enough clear answers.
Well, I think at this time it would be premature for us to say exactly what happened to the inmates because autopsies are being done, and we know that there's a backlog over there. They are understaffed over there as well. So I reserve any kind of judgment until the actual facts come out. Now, I'm not saying that I'm not going to say why these deaths occurred, but I do know there was a number of deaths that I believe would be attributed to illness and things of that nature. So until that final number comes out, I just reserve judgment.
Yeah, and I know the governor has said some of those deaths at least were due to natural causes. I called MDOC to try to get someone to come on, but they said they have kind of spoken on this issue. So I'm going to read a couple of press releases they've sent. This one is from Corrections Commissioner Policia Hall. I have been communicating with the FBI and the Mississippi Department of Public Safety regarding our deaths, Commissioner Hall said today. This was sent out on August 31st. While we believe that most of the reported deaths during the month of August are from illnesses or natural causes, such as cancer and heart disease, based on available information, we are seeking assistance from others outside the department in the interest of transparency. My administration is committed to ensuring that all individuals in the department's care receive appropriate medical care. And I guess you couldn't ask for more than that.
I think that was quite an appropriate response because the FBI, you know, that's our federal bureau and that's outside of the state agency. So I think the more eyes, ears, and people you have looking into it, the more I guess it would be, if I was a family member, I would feel better knowing that this is not just, you know, something that people said, but something that was actually investigated.
And that it's not just the agency investigating itself. Mm-hmm. Here's another release that went out on August 28th, also from Commissioner Hall, and it says, the Mississippi Department of Corrections takes seriously its constitutional mandate to provide health care to all individuals in its custody. All deaths are investigated to determine whether foul play is involved. If foul play is determined, the cases are referred to the appropriate authorities. And here is, I think, what I was saying before. The number of deaths the department is reporting is not out of line with the number of deaths in previous months. However, the department appreciates the concern from the public and remains committed to transparency.
Well, let me just say that for those that's listening that may not know, the state legislature, well, the governor, have actually cut our state agencies six times in the last 2 years. That means less resources going to agencies which would provide them the ability to perform their purpose. So I think that when you're cutting state agency budgets, it's going to be cuts all around. So it's going to have a direct impact on people's lives because that's what government is for. So I will say this, that I commend Commissioner Hall and her administration and all of the dedicated correctional professionals within the system. Is there a possibility that we have some bad ones? Maybe, but I reserve judgment because those workers are going beyond the call of duty in order to preserve public safety to the community from which they are located.
I want to read one more thing. This is from an article from Jerry Mitchell, who I'm sure you know. This is in today's Clarion Ledger. It says, the Southern Poverty Law Center urged Governor Phil Bryant Thursday, which is today, to increase transparency and accountability with regard to inmate deaths in Mississippi prisons. In August, 16 inmates died behind bars. A quote, there is a systemic problem at MDOC. Lisa Graybill, the center's deputy legal director, wrote Bryant, and quote, the high number of fatalities illustrates a lack of action to protect the health of incarcerated people under MDOC's care. So there are people who obviously it sounds like a high number, but on average it may not be. I guess you'd have to look at the end of the year to see if it's out of line. But
or previous months and years.
Right. But I do think it's interesting because And we're going to take a break, but when we come back, I do think it's interesting that while you were honoring these inmates that day, you were there about the budget. And of course, MDLC is one of the agencies that's affected by that budget. And as you say, the more money that is spent on other things, you know, we've had a couple of lean years where they've cut. So I want to get your take on exactly, you know, where you think we're headed in terms of the budget.
Okay, fine.
So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. We're talking to Brenda Scott, the president of the Mississippi Alliance of State Employees. Stick around.
No one has you covered like we do here at From the Press Box to Press Row. I'm your host, Donald Ware. Join me each week as we talk a lot about HBCU football. We'll also talk with some of the top sports figures and talk sports with some of the top entertainers in the business. That's From the Press Box to Press Row each week right here on your favorite station.
WJSU. Catch From the Press Box to Press Row Fridays 5 p.m. on Cool and Current WJSU.
Cool and Current WJSU wants to hear from you. While we do our best to provide you with great quality jazz and blues programming, we realize that things can change. We want to change with you so that you don't change the station. We're all ears. Have a programming suggestion or request? Any likes or dislikes? Emails can be sent to wjsufm@jsums.edu. That's WJSU FM at JSUMS.edu.
Welcome back to the Full Spectrum on Cool and Current WJSU. I'm your host, Dwayne Doty, and we're talking with Brenda Scott, who is the president of the Mississippi Alliance of State Employees. And Brenda, before we went to break, we were talking about that day at the Capitol. So talk to me, how did you feel about that particular special session? And were you happy with the package they came up with to deal with at least transportation issues?
You know, I had no problem with the lawmakers supporting infrastructure projects to improve the roads and bridges. But my major concern, and I'm very glad that you quoted the Southern Poverty Law Firm and them challenging the governor, because for the last 16 years, we've been under the Republican administration, and their favorite motto is cut government. The reason you saw those inmates' pictures there, I was thinking, when will this leadership in this state and the Republican Party treasure people's lives that could very well be 10 or 15 workers' pictures up there, because they're out there implementing policies that have been put in place by this administration, which really deals with individuals' livelihood. Just like the other day, yesterday, I believe, Tate Reeves, the lieutenant governor, was talking about, he was almost gleeful about the $40 million deficit in Medicaid really being reduced down to $5 million. My thing is, well, if the state is saving money, it's saving it at the expense of some citizen in Mississippi not getting the health care that they need. Okay, child protection services. 50% turnover rate. Are they going to take action when those pictures are replaced by 15 children? Are they going to take action when aging and adult services, those pictures are replaced by 15 of our adult and aging citizens? It's just like they hear this, they see this, but the point is they know this. And that whole news conference was calling out the governor, the lieutenant governor, the speaker, and that supermajority GOP in the state legislature. When you cut government, what they do, they create a situation where government workers are not able to fulfill their mission, and then they come in and talk about privatization like they did with child support. You underfunded child support. You didn't give it enough enforcement officers. You didn't give it enough court service. You didn't have enough attorneys. You didn't have enough judges. And so that custodial parent is upset because she's not getting her child support from that absent parent. Well, when you don't provide enough for that division to be able to fulfill the job of child of collecting child support and getting it to that custodial parent, then you want to come in, we want to privatize it. So you use our workers, we input all the information, and you hand it over to Youngs and Williams, and they get a percentage of that child support that they collect. So what are they doing? Are they cherry picking that absent parent? Is he a lawyer? Is he a doctor? So the more child support you get, the bigger your percentage is. So I think it's a concerted effort to say in the name of cutting government, what they're actually doing is redirecting your tax dollars, my tax dollars, to a private for-profit company to do the work that our state workers do on a daily basis as a service to our people.
And you mentioned Medicaid, and the reason I didn't go to the inmate protests about the inmate deaths is because I was at the Capitol for a press conference about new requirements, work requirements to receive Medicaid. And I'm pretty sure that you're not going to like that. But talk to me about combine that aspect of it with what you see happening. And we've heard this before about this belief on the parts of many Americans that the government would like to, or the Republicans anyway, would like to privatize a lot of what are now government
and they
agencies.
They are doing it.
We know the prisons. I heard they've got a new, is it Tallahatchie? They've got a whole batch of prisoners.
Yeah, I got lost up there in Tutwiler, and I found that prison at the middle of the night the other night.
Oh, did you? But they've got a bunch of inmates coming in to the state, I think, to that prison.
You know, I mean, you got to have heads to get the profit that these private companies make off of this. But it's just amazing how we live in the Bible Belt. And we want to put "In God We Trust" on a tag, but yet you're not caring about the least of these. They will call a special session in a New York second for a big corporation that come in and promise X number of jobs, and then they go bankrupt, and Mississippi left looking. And they'll admit it was a sham. There's been a lot of shams going on. You know, the big cattle gate or whatever we had some years ago.
The clean coal plant.
Well, there's been some articles about the state being left holding the bag of something that make Cattlegate look like, you know, petty. But when you're in charge, when you're the party in charge, and you have to hold yourself accountable, how that's going to work?
Well, and we do know that there's go ahead.
You wanted but to- before you move on, talking about the Medicaid, the governor has sent a waiver to D.C., where actually, and I think you heard this at the news conference yesterday, that if a TANF recipient worked 20 hours a week for minimum wage, she's kicked off Medicaid. So, I mean, that just doesn't make sense to me. And then they want to put a lifetime limit on Medicaid. So, okay, say it's 5 years. I'm pregnant. I got a child 5 years old. All of a sudden, they become bionic. They God. They bewitched. They're not going to get sick. This is the most, to be in the Bible Belt, man. And I ain't going to get into my religion, but I think God is sending us signs through these hurricanes and things like that. If we don't get ourselves together and start caring about you can't be a prison. You can't prison your way out of things.
Right. I don't believe that Medicaid thing. I believe that was a request, right? Mm-hmm. They're asking the federal government if they can do that. But I do know that there's no reason, at least in my mind, that they wouldn't say yes. I think
they control D.C. too now.
Right.
And I was was in the hearing when the head of Snyder, who heads Medicaid, went before the Senate Appropriations Committee and said the amount of money that he need, but he'll take whatever they give him.
Right, and I was going to say that I believe that I was hearing from folks at that press mm-hmm. conference that Mississippi would be the first state to be granted the right to put that work requirement in that did not take the Medicaid match money. No other state, the other states that have gotten the right to do that all took the Medicaid match money.
Look, Dodie, I was in the Delta at Parchman this week. Where are the jobs? How are you going to require somebody to go to work? There are no jobs that go to the Delta. I tell people, you know, the most powerful man in D.C. was Thad Cochran. He was chairman of appropriations. And then Phil Bryant, they're just following that. They treat the Delta like it's not even a part of Mississippi. Maybe it's because we have Congressman Thompson up there. Maybe it's because it's majority-minority. I hate to say it, but why aren't there jobs going to this area? Then you can make some requirements, but you got to create the job. What came first, the chicken or the egg?
Well, I think the big question is when you know revenue's down, this is what I was about to say before, and that this could be going on for years. It could even get worse, especially
whose revenue is down?
The state's
no,
is.
No, it's not. They got money in that rainy day fund. They're not going to tell you how much. If they tell you $400 million, it's probably $500 million.
Yeah, but they have a maximum amount of that they can spend, right, during the regular session.
He spend it for what? He can ask some special. I mean, look. If you've been in leadership
But wait a minute. But okay. Even if they have the rainy day fund, revenue is down. Now, they did find that $40 million mm-hmm. in the last fiscal year. But for the past couple years before that, revenue is down. And my point being, you know, I know a lot of legislators want to stop that next tax package from going into effect. Mm-hmm. I think it's like $415 billion mm-hmm. over a number of years, mm-hmm. So,
Well, I think Senator Blackmun asked that question of the Senate Appropriation Chair. What about in corporate taxes? And he said they was down over 20-some million dollars. She said, what about individual taxes? They was up $616,000. And so it asked about sales tax. Sales taxes was up. So if this state is in a bind and we're so-called broke, what have the Republican leadership done to move us in a better? I mean, they'd be happy to say they can't blame Obama because they didn't want to accept anything President Obama had to give. So who's to blame? Any state worker out there that's suffering, hadn't had a pay raise in 14 years. You know,
But Brenda, I would say if you believe that theory, the concept I've heard behind the theory of trying to starve government and move toward privatization is that that's what they want. They want to say, well, you can't get this here. We have to privatize
these
services.
They create that situation.
So there would be no apology to give or no explanation mm-hmm. to give mm-hmm. if indeed, and I'm not saying that it is, but for people who believe that, many of them say that is the intent.
Well, people that believe it, I think they get a disconnect because everybody in this state benefit from state government in some form or fashion. If you're on the highways, you got MDOT there. You send your state taxes in, it's a state worker. Most of that is done by state employees dealing with the mentally deficient individuals in this state. And these are workers that they don't get the necessary raises. The cost of living is leaving them down. And then they won't even look to your PERS, your retirement. There's, you know, everything starts as a rumor. Only thing I can say, I can tell you for Brenda Scott, I am going to work and work some more to see if we can take back at least one of these houses over there. Because if we don't have split government, we don't have any checks and balances. And I am tired of them just running over the Indians out here. And there are so many people who do not vote. I say you need to register. Registering is not. You need to vote. You need to make sure your family vote, your churchmen. We need to talk this thing because it's just not, you can't pray about it. You got to be about it.
Well, there are two things here when you start talking about this. One is the national election, which right now most prognosticators are saying that it looks likely that the Democrats would take back the House and maybe even now the Senate. The president's poll numbers are dropping drastically. Mm-hmm. But that's separate than here in Mississippi in our government. When you look, what do you think the chances are here that Democrats could take back one of the houses?
If people will realize that they are no better off than they were 16 years ago, I would say don't keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. We need to go back because state workers got pay raises under the Democrat. When they get this money, they spend it here. And that generates additional money. So we can't just complain and believe nothing is going to change. We got to get up and do something. We got to educate our people. We got to organize them. And then we got to get souls to the polls, as they say.
You know, as we move into this midterm election, what are you hearing from your members about which issues are most important to them in considering that national election?
Well, that bread and butter. I mean, you know, very few people see a difference in their standard of living with the tax cut that the president liked to taunt about that favored the rich, even himself. So I think once they really, you know, really in Mississippi, people are hurting. Some realize and see it coming. Some probably hurting and don't even know they're hurting. But by the time you come to that realization, it's almost too late. I think and I just can go with our labor endorsed candidates. I think Mike Espy, I think David Barrier, I think that my young man on the coast. I think we all have an opportunity to celebrate in a blue wave.
Well, and I do believe national polls now are showing Mike Espy, even with a lead in some polls, it's within the margin of error, but also David Barrier is polling well. And mm-hmm. And I do think this is just my mm-hmm. thinking right now mm-hmm. that the Democrats, the National Party, mm-hmm. are going to put some money in this state.
Oh, yeah, I believe they are.
And yeah. if they do, and if they get black voters to turn mm-hmm. out, not only do I think they have a chance, but my question to you, given what you said earlier, do you think that could spur a habit of people voting? If they get, because, you know, I when the Black Voters Matter tour came through here, I was on the bus with them, mm-hmm. and they're here. They were here in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. They were in Georgia and Alabama. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of attention being paid to getting out, mm-hmm. getting people registered, mm-hmm. getting out that vote. Mm-hmm. Do you think if one or two of those Democrats could win, could that influence behavior here?
I truly believe, and if they win, we can't stop with that momentum. We have to keep that momentum. We got to go in every 82 counties. We got to know that there's possibility, but we have to make it happen. I just believe it. You know, any organization that have a group or a following, any constituents, you got to start now, because I do believe there are more people hurting than more people who are satisfied.
David Barrier has the harder race, I guess, because he's up against the incumbent, Roger Wicker. Mm-hmm. So I think he probably has the tougher race. But I do think, as with most elections, Brenda, it'll be about which party
can get
their
people
vote
out.
Yep.
And I think he has an operation going all around this state. It's one almost like when President Obama ran, you know. And I think with Espy, if he gets the majority of the vote, it's over with. I mean, you know, so we just have to, because he's feeling the
right. Yeah, and oddly enough, they benefit from each other's mm-hmm. base. They mm-hmm. have the same base, mm-hmm. basically. Mm-hmm. And so if one or both of them get them out and they do it together, because they're both good campaigners.
Exactly.
And I haven't seen Roger Wicker doing too much campaigning. I know Cindy Hyde-Smith and
Thank
Chris
God
McDaniel have been out. They're out there.
Right. Right.
I think Roger Wicker is resting on the power of the incumbency,
well,
and that may not be enough. He
may
need to get out.
Man, I pray to God it's an upset or a wake-up call. I'm sorry. I mean, I've been doing this 30 years now, Dodie, and it just really makes me depressed to see the power that we have in our hands, and we don't use it. People are just so removed from politics. But it's just as simple as the people in the boardroom raising your price of gas. If you want it, you're going to buy it. So we got to come together and organize for a better a better future.
All right. Well, Brenda Scott, it's always a pleasure having you here, and I'll see you around, I'm sure.
Have me back during election time.
Oh, you know I will.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for tuning in today to The Full Spectrum. Don't forget to catch Metro Morning Live with Rob J. tomorrow at 7 and again at 10 on JSU TV, Comcast Channel 14. You can catch their live stream on Facebook. Just type in Jackson State TV, one word. We'll be back Monday with more of The Full Spectrum. Stick around now for Latin Jazz with host Dale Morris. Have a great evening.